run we did?
Yes.
Today is what, 32?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Narada's instruction on Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Canto 1, Chapter 5, Trans 32. Translation of Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Brahman Vyasadeva, it is decided by the learned that the best remedial measure for removing all troubles and miseries is to dedicate one's activities to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna.
Sri Chaitanya Manavisam Shapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Upakarama Yadadati Svapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivindam
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
O Brahman Vyasadeva, it is decided by the learned that the best redeeming measure for removing all troubles and misery is to dedicate one's activities to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. So the living entity is by nature active. And there's a few constitutional, you can say, inherent qualities that the living entity has. One is that they're active. Of course, they also go into a dormant stage where they are wrapped up in the body of Mahavishnu for some time, but then when they come out, they're active, just like in the winter. The tree may not be active, the sap goes in, but then it comes out again in the spring. So now we're in the active stage. The manifestation, the creation is going on. Living entities are active in various ways. But the activities bind us. This is a common sense we can see. If we do something, we get the result. And that result keeps us here in the material world. This is the simple principle of karma. So there are so many attempts to act in such a way that the fortune will come to one. Even by gambling, that's also kind of an activity where you think, I'll put money here and then I'll get the some good result. This is called chance or gambling. But that also, there's no guarantee. And the result will also be troublesome. They've done studies to see the people who won the big jackpots. They examine their life before and after. They're not more happy, actually. Somehow they become disturbed because of the unearned wealth, in a sense. They're not ready for it, and they don't know how to use it properly. But to come to the transcendental platform, the point we really want to make is that all these activities, they won't solve the problem. The problem is we want to be happy. So the only that'll happen is if we get free from all our karma. So this is being described here, how one can give the result to Krishna, and then there won't be any more reaction to our activities. Otherwise, good or bad, Prabhupada used to give the example of wet stool and dry stool, they're both bad because they're stool. Similarly, good result or bad result, they're all bad because they're material. But if we get transcendental result, then we can get free from our karma. Otherwise, there's no way out of this karma. people think, the gambler, I give the example of the gambler, from a material point of view, they're considered as unreliable or not responsible people. They just gamble. Whereas the other side, no, we're hardworking. We work hard and we have a right to the result because we've earned it. But that also, from the spiritual point of view, that's another kind of foolishness. I mean, people are generally thinking like that, that we've earned this. But that means that you don't understand that what you're earning will keep you bound up in the material world. Therefore, everything should be done for the pleasure of the Lord. Then, whether you're victory or defeat, happiness or distress, it doesn't matter because the result will be that you'll become qualified to enter into the spiritual world. So this is the goal of our Krishna conscious movement, to bring us gradually to the point of liberation. Now, of course, the Varnashram Dharma is there, so that we don't abruptly you can say, imagine that now we're liberated, everything we do is transcendental. Therefore, the Varnashram Dharma and even this Bhakti Yoga process is a gradual bringing us to the point of spontaneously dedicating everything for the pleasure of the Lord. This is really our constitutional position, to be spontaneously engaged from the core of our heart for the pleasure of the Lord. We don't have to think about it. It's something which is natural for the liberated soul. So we want to become liberated. Therefore, there's a process how to practically use everything in Krishna's service. Atmanivedanam, that's the highest stage. That's the spontaneous stage where we think not only that everything we have should be used in Krishna's service, but we think that we should also, that we're also Krishna's. We don't think that there's anything outside of Krishna. So everything, including ourselves, our family, or whatever, is used solely and wholly in the service of the Lord. So that's a very advanced stage. Generally, we think, like karma yogis, that we have proprietorship over the land, and the result of the produce from the land we give to the Lord. We offer. This is the Vedic culture. The first offering goes to the Lord, and so on. And we think this is a very, it is a God-centered consciousness, but it's still karma yoga because we maintain, you can say, the proprietorship over the land, and then we give the revenue or the result to the Lord and keep our quota. But the Atmanivedanam, he doesn't think that he's a proprietor of everything. He understands that everything belongs to Krishna and everything is his. So what is the question of my using or giving him something? It's already his. And therefore everything is engaged, everything. So Prabhupada was pointing in that direction, that's true. But he saw, practically, in the history of Srila Prabhupada's pastimes here in the material world or in this earthly planet, that he saw that most of his disciples couldn't come to that point. Therefore, he was encouraging us to, to at least adopt some ideal cultural standards so that we could gradually come to that stage, or at least we would be making progress towards that stage so that others would also have example how we can live peacefully in this life and not just become artificially renounced, but use everything for the service of the Lord. But the higher principle is there also, so that we have to adjust. I mean, if somebody is actually at that point of being spontaneously attracted or transcendental, then for them, Varnashram Dharma is no longer necessary. Madhavendra Puri, he wasn't thinking about Varnashram Dharma because he was spontaneously attracted. But for the majority of people, and for the population at large, it's good if we have such an example that they can appreciate and emulate, and so that gradually they'll come to that point. But if we artificially try to imitate that stage, then it simply creates a disturbance. And we'll go back to our old ways. Because we can't exist in a vacuum, so there has to be some culture that we're going to, practice. So oftentimes Prabhupada said, this is a cultural movement. Why do you say religious movement? This is a cultural movement. He was trying to introduce like that, so that people would see that this has nothing to do with some kind of fanaticism or my belief, your belief, but rather it's a movement for everybody. Everybody can follow these principles of Vedic culture and then gradually make advancement so that they don't artificially. We saw that Prabhupada sometimes became disgusted. He made so many sannyasis, but they weren't able to maintain. He was advising us just chant Hare Krishna, but then he saw that, well, who can chant Hare Krishna? So there may be exceptions, just like we're reading this nice book, Mahanidhi Swami. He seems to be going all the way, you know. We can't preach to him that he should come and follow some kind of Vedic culture, because he's living in Radhakund and getting a higher taste. It seems real. So we can also be inspired by those kind of people, just like Sukadeva Goswami. He wasn't interested in Vedic culture. He was walking naked. But everybody was eager to hear from him. So why? Because they're inspired. Because we all ultimately want to come to that point of being able to enter into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, conjugal loving affairs. This is the goal. So we don't lose track of the goal, But we want to go step by step. If we artificially jump over, then we'll simply break our limbs. So therefore, the Veda cultures, and even Buddhist Bhakti Yoga, sadhana bhakti is also a gradual process. It isn't something that we immediately come or expect that. Sometimes we see that, especially in the countries where people are a little sentimental. I saw that like in Mexico, in South America, even in Poland, and that the people are sentimental and they think, oh, okay, now I'm initiated, that means I'm perfect somehow. Indaduni was telling me that story, how one disciple came with that misconception that, I don't understand, I've been initiated for 6 months, but I still have the same habits. I haven't been able to change. I thought this was some kind of, you know, magic process. So it's not magic. They may have that idea that Christ came and just touched people and everything was different. I mean, it is magic if you take it. If you really embrace it into your heart, then you can make a conversion in your life and give up your bad habits and come to the point of becoming rightly situated. At least rightly situated means no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, and following, you know, chanting 16 rounds, following the order of the spiritual master. So if one can keep that standard, then that is a miracle, because we were so much addicted to sinful life. So Prabhupada used to say, at least in the beginning, let's become human beings. Human beings means we follow these four regular principles. The animal has no regulations. So the society at large, two-legged animals, they're simply creating disturbance for each other. They're worse than animals, because even an animal can be trained, but the envious man, no one can control. And we see, if we look at the newspaper, the history, that this is going on. The world is full of it. And when their enemy suffers, then they feel very happy, and they, life seems worthwhile to them. So such a class of man, it's very dangerous to live even in the same globe with them, because we don't know what they're going to do. They may come with the atom bomb in a suitcase and just take pleasure out of blowing up the civilized world, or anybody. Doesn't care. They don't care, because this is how they take their pleasure. So we should take impetus from this condition. We know that this is the reality, that there are many people there who take pleasure out of seeing others suffer. So why should we remain in such a place, such an environment? So let us go to the spiritual side according to our capacity as quickly as we can. We should inspire each other to come to the spiritual side. And in that way, we'll be our future will be bright. Whether we're fully successful in this life or not, that's another thing. But at least we're on the path and determined to remain on that path. Nothing can shake us from that determination, because we've seen the truth. The truth is that there is God, and He's our friend. And if we've whatever little bit we have done in His for His pleasure, He's reciprocated. That much experience we have. So we're not blindly following. We're not, you can say, asking others to follow blindly either. We are saying with conviction that this is our experience. We're preaching from the heart. Our experience is that if you surrender to Krishna, He'll reciprocate. This is what He promises, and this is what we've experienced. So why not give it a try? Why not make an experiment and see if by chanting Hare Krishna, by offering your food to Krishna, by associating with devotees, by keeping a picture of Krishna, avoiding the sinful life, that you won't find that your life is also progressing. May not become perfect, but you'll be satisfied that you're making progress. So that will keep you from the worst danger. The worst danger is that you can come into the animal species, or even become so hopeless that you commit suicide or something, because you're not making progress. But if you're making progress, then the future is always, some prospect is there, some prospective future. You may still be struggling, you may still be suffering, but the prospect is bright, and so you're able to go forward. So take this process. This is what Prabhupada has given us, a wonderful process, and it'll make our future very bright. Hare Krishna.
Yes, Maharaj. It has been seen that some of our God brothers, even devotees who joined earlier on, left the process that you're speaking of, this bhakti yoga process, this sadhana bhakti, and some of their complaints were that, well, I didn't see happening what was talked about in the books. I didn't see that much advancement. I didn't see people becoming so enlightened. So was that just impatience, motive passion on their part, not to recognize that Prabhupada says bhakti yoga is cultivated over many lifetimes, that it is one has to be prepared to go on and on and on without just having and have the faith that, that Krishna will bless him over time. Is that the mode of passion when they say like that? That I don't see my godbrothers becoming saints in this
person? Who cares about your godbrothers? What about you? You don't see anything in your own heart? It's not a political movement that we have to get everybody else to join or to take to it in order to be successful. It's like Mahanidhi, same example. He's living in Radhakund. But he's seeing something internally. You don't see, you're not sober enough to at least examine your conscience to see what you are now, what you were before you met Prabhupada. If that should be your first criteria. Mm-hmm. And then you can try to help others. Well, you can say, okay, my godbrothers are not doing so well, so I have some compassion on them and try to inspire them because I have faith. Why do I have faith? Because I see what's happening to me. Now, if it's not happening to you, then there's a problem. You're not taking the process properly, or you're not sincere. If you're not sincere, there's not much we can do.
I think, Maharaj, they may be... Obviously, it's not happening with them, or they wouldn't have that state of mind.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. Then. So why is it not happening with you? Because you're not sincere, or you're not taking the process properly. So if you're not taking the process properly, then come, and we'll help you. That's a legitimate question. That question comes to me often. Well, I'm chanting everything, but I don't feel like I'm making an advance. Okay, so let's talk about it. How are you chanting? What time are you getting up? Like this one lady was just telling me, my disciple, Malika. She says, well, I get up with my children, at 6 o'clock, and then I have to dress them, get them off to school, make breakfast for this one. She's got two children. She lives in a small house. So I said, well, I couldn't make breakfast either. If immediately the first thing I had to do is start my housework. You should get up 45 an hour earlier and chant some japa. At least have some little basis before you immediately get into your work. So we can, those guys, if they're sincere, and they say, well, I don't know, I'm not making progress, then let's talk about it. Let's be practical. What do you have to do? Because the process works. We have faith that the process works because it's working for us. Therefore, we can, we can help people adjust. But if they're not sincere, then, just like I told the story of a Bhagavan, he became insincere at one point. He didn't want to follow the process. He wanted to enjoy it with this girl and so on. So then the mind will give so many objections. Oh, the devotees are this and that. And because, just like Hiranyakashipu, he wasn't introspective at all. Therefore, Vishnu hid in his heart. Because he was such an extrovert, he was only seeing everywhere. He didn't stop for a moment to look inside. So, such class of people, better sometimes not to have their association. Like Prabhupada said that, I heard him personally about Aravinda, one devotee who was there. He was Prabhupada's secretary for some time, and then he left, and he came back to ridicule Prabhupada. And Prabhupada became angry. He said, Krishna saved us from you. Get out. So Krishna, we shouldn't be so sentimental. If somebody's not sincere, and they say, well, this part doesn't work, and the devotees, and I don't see it, then if they're not sincere, we can take time with them. But if they're not sincere... I'm thinking of another devotee in California. He became so bad that he was, better not to associate. So just say, yeah, I'm glad this process is like this. It saved us from having to live with you.
And most of these people are not rectifiable from what I've seen. They just complain that I thought I would see so many saints out here, and the devotees don't look like saints to me.
But that's the wrong, right away, that's the wrong thing. What about you? First of all, why didn't it work for you? Why couldn't you give up your bad habits? They want to immediately point. That's what Bhagavan was doing too. Oh, the devotees, this. What about you? You're the one that's taking the process. It doesn't depend on others with their realization of things. If you're a promised disciple or you're connected somehow, if you're taking it, if you're actually doing like this says here, then it will work.
Well, they may put the argument, well, that's true, but the way to advance is, according to the books, is to associate with advanced devotees. But I'm seeing so much.
You don't see anybody advanced in the whole.
In their vision, they didn't apparently. They couldn't see something.
Then even the next best thing. Then okay, then on the whole planet, there's nobody. Even if somebody goes to Gaudiya Math or whatever, that's better than just becoming a complete atheist.
Right.
I have more respect for Tripurari and these people than I do for some. Person who's completely given up the process and saying this.
Oh, I think like Shubhananda is one that comes to mind. He's one that would speak like that. And then he ends up going to movies and art shows. And
yeah,
and
that's why I have more respect for Chitra than for Shubhananda. Shubhananda is completely...
He just gets sucked right back into the material world and all the activities out there. Then he's encouraging devotees, oh yeah, you know, there's things to do out there that are nice.
Foolish. What does this say? Everything is suffering. What is that we're probably saying there? The whole world is struggling hard to get out of the existence of these miseries. But there's no remedial.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're looking for temporary relief. That's why we put the heater on when it's so cold, right? Or when in the hot summer we turn on the AC and we go to a doctor. We revere doctors because they can help fix our body and then we can be healthy again for sense enjoyment. So we want the misery.
Let's see Subhananda at the deathbed while he's still sprouting this philosophy. This philosophy is based on the fact that I can enjoy. I have short senses. But when that's taken away, there's a good chance he'll again start chanting Hare Krishna in the last few months of his life. Otherwise, we can take lessons from such people about associating and offensive. You know, he started criticizing Prabhupada.
Right. That's why he lost it all.
Yeah. Started, you know, I saw a lot of them.
Then they think that they're leaving on their own. Actually, they're being kicked out.
Yeah.
But they think, oh, I'm deciding to leave. But they're so offensive in their mentality, Krishna just boots them out by giving them this foolish way of thinking.
Yeah. From me comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So they want to forget about Krishna. Okay, here. You can easily forget about me. Here's a nice illusory thought. You can embrace that. But the other side is, there's no loss. Whatever they did do when they were in Krishna consciousness, whatever little service, like Subhananda compiled that book.
Right.
It's a good book.
Yeah, the holy names. So.
And also Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I think he did another book with scholars.
Uh-huh.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, I think that's right. He did that as well.
So, that credit is there. I think that, like I said, there's a good chance in this life he'll again turn to Krishna. And if he doesn't, whatever credit is there in the next life.
Takes up where he left off.
Or what to do. And we just have to be careful not to associate with these kind of people, except for preaching to them. Otherwise, it's a very contaminating association when they start minimizing Prabhupada in some way, and then we associate with them, we hear from them, we become, relax with them, then they can poison us. So we have to be vigilant not to.
In that regard, Kalki was here. Did you know that recently? He was in
San Diego. Chicago?
Yeah.
No.
He was visiting there, and he came to Vatsal's for morning program. We had a nice program, and we asked him to speak. And then during the lecture, I asked him, I said, well, what about, because I knew you had mentioned that he goes to Tripura Maharaj. So I said, well, what about Tripura Maharaj is writing this stuff about women taking sannyas? And he said, no, he's a Maya.
Kalki said it?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, he recognizes, no, this is fun. And even he's doing just book distribution. That's how he maintains himself. Goes out and sells books directly. He has a few people buying him some books, and so whatever he can sell for.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, maybe sometime you can come to Charlotte and do some book distribution. He said, I'd love to come.
Yeah, I should come.
So I said, so maybe we can arrange some ticket for you or something. You come stay sometime. He said he'd love to do that.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.